What we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38 is the combinations of multiple announcements from God to humanity. However, those prior announcements were mysterious because they were partly hidden. This first point dealt with some of those announcements. Immediately after sin entered the world, God made it known to Satan himself that the Savior will be provided to man. And we read this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." In this text, God announced the birth of the son of Eve, who will crush the head of the serpent and the serpent's heir. The serpent in the Bible is Satan himself, and its heir is the Antichrist. We read this in Revelation 12, 9 and 22. Eve is mysterious because all the records of generations in the Bible name Adam, his son, and other descendants, male descendants. And so we never were told in the book of Genesis about who is this son of Eve. And God never explained that until Isaiah 7, when God said a virgin will bear a child, and that child will be the Savior. Now God explained that to us in the book of Revelation chapter 12, that there's a woman that is pregnant on earth, and she's going to give birth to a child, and that child will be king. But there's a dragon waiting, want to devour this child as soon as she gives birth to. This is a story of the war between God and Satan, or humanity and Satan. And God took on the fight with us. The story tells us how God sent the Archangel Michael to fight Satan and his angels. And they won. The child was born and was taken up by God into heaven to receive his throne. And that is a remarkable story that God explained the beginning and what would happen. And that Jesus is the son of God, the son of this Eve. So when Mary is told by Gabriel that she will give a virgin birth to Jesus, this mystery is finally revealed. The son of Eve is also the son of Mary. That answers part of the mystery, but not all of it. For there are other announcements. Another announcement of the Savior's birth is found in the story of Abraham. God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, and we read, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. But Abraham did not have children. He waited and waited. And finally, he had a son through his slave, Egyptian girl, Ishmael. And he thought that is the son that's going to be the blessing to all mankind. God said, no. This is going to be a child from your wife. And we hear the story, we know the story, that Isaac then was later born. And there's a little conflict between the two sons. And we read that story in Genesis chapter 21, verse 8 to 13. Abraham's wife said, cast out this woman from me and her son. And Abraham was distressed. And God said this to Abraham in verse 12, Genesis 21, verse 12. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. There's, again, mystery in here. God wants to bless Abraham and Abraham to make Abraham a blessing upon all the people of the earth. But what God said here is that not Ishmael, not Isaac. It is a descendant through Isaac that will be the blessed child, the child who will be a blessing on the earth. Now, that helped me to understand what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56 to 58. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. He longed for my day, and he finally saw it, and he was glad. So Abraham was able to see the Savior, and he was glad. So the Savior was promised, but again was hidden. It was revealed, it was announced, but then it was mysterious. We see another announcement that was made through Jacob when he blessed his children. And we saw the blessing of Judah to be very special. And this is part of the announcement that God made, but this time is through a man that is filled with the Spirit of God. Genesis 40. 9 verse 8 reads, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. He will tether his donkeys to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Now we read that and we said, there's a lot of things being said, but what about this? But one thing is clear, and that is the kingship is Judah's. And Judah was not a king. Not until David became a king. But here are more. That kingship is to remain in Judah forever. No kings in Judah will remain forever. But Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, will be forever. And so we see the answer in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, that Jesus, the Son of David, will rule forever. But here are more. He would not rule in any other way but through his death. The blood of grapes is the communion that we are taking every month. There's no other way for him to rule forever but to die. And his exaltation to the throne is not like we see the enthronement of any king. His exaltation is nailing to the cross. They are here. Even the donkey that he will ride into Jerusalem in triumph is also mentioned here. Not only the donkey, but also the colt that are mentioned here. But then, again, it's mysterious because the Bible said he come into Jerusalem in triumph, yet he will be killed. In triumph, but on a donkey, not on a horse. Another announcement about the birth of Jesus is promised. It's the promise that God made to King David that we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10b and following. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. So the announcement to David includes the house of God, that is the temple for prayer. And Jesus is the temple for prayer. And Jesus' name is the temple for prayer. All the earth will pray to God in Jesus' name. So here, all these announcements, we see the Messiah clothed in the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. And he will receive his throne not like any other means. He will be nailed to the cross. His blood will come down. That is how he's enthroned. And that is the story of Jesus. All the announcements culminate in this one that we receive in Luke chapter 1. The second part of this message, I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit interpret the message, the announcement to us, so that we understand as we come and hear about the message of Christmas. What is the meaning of Christmas to you and to me? First, let's read what Elizabeth has to say. We see this in Luke chapter 1, 39 to 55, but I'm going to read from verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, The baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She called Mary the mother of my Lord, a term that betrayed our human understanding, but it is a reference to the Lord Jesus who was in Mary's body at the time. But that is not all. Elizabeth spoke that the blessed child is the one that is being conceived. The blessed child is referred to the blessing, the blessed son of Abraham. That God said, your blessed son will be a blessing to the world. So this is the blessed child, the son of Abraham. But there's another blessing. The blessing is one who believe what? Believe that God has said something and God is going to do it. And that is the faith that will save. And so Christmas is about having faith. Not having faith only that Jesus is the Son of God and coming from God. Not only that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, but that God gonna make you a son like his own son, a daughter like his own son. That even as you die, God will raise you up again. That is the faith that is part of this blessing to humanity. So Christmas is about this faith, believing that what God said will be done, not only about David, not only about Abraham, not only about Eve, but about you and about me. Do you have that faith? That is part of the interpretation that the Holy Spirit is giving to us through the word of Elizabeth. Now let's turn to the word of Mary. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so she sang a song. We read this in verse 46 to 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Now we read this song and we know that this song is given to us through Mary from the Holy Spirit. And there are two groups of people that the song talked about. The first talked about those who will lose out, who will not be, even though they may celebrate Christmas, they are not in this. They do not receive the blessing of Christmas. And Mary talked about the proud in their inmost thoughts. Rulers from their thrones, and the rich, prideful, successful, wealthy men and women. They don't get it. Pride is not always an outward appearance. It resides in the mind, in the thoughts about themselves. Status is not success, but something to be overthrown. Wealth is not to keep, but to give away. And if you keep them, if you take success as your own, as your throne, then you lose out. Pride, status, and wealth. Of what all people long for, you and I live for them and pursue them. They are the prizes of living, aren't they? We cling to them and never let go. In contrast, there are four classes of people to be saved, to receive this blessing. And we have seen here those who fear God, the humble, the hungry, and the servant. We don't have any problem understanding those who fear God will be blessed by God. But we have a problem with the other categories. We never taught our children to be humble. Not humility, not humiliation, not being bully. No. Nor do we taught our children to go hungry and not to eat. No, we don't teach our children to be slave or to be people's servant. We dread those thoughts. Because we live through them, we see people live through them, we have experience in life, and so we taught our children to get away, get out of those status, to be rich, to be somebody. And that brings me to application. What then is Christmas? Christmas is not a shopping season. It's not give exchange program. It's not a musical, a jingle bell all the way kind of show. The Christmas is heart-wrenching, transformational. Human mindset is brought low, down to the dust. Our usual instincts about surviving and living are overthrown. It takes the whole course of human hope and progress through history and sweep it into the dustpan and throw into the garbage. Christmas is the call for human repentance, a repentance of Adam's sins and of the sins of the Tower of Babel and of the sins of man's sins then, your sins and my sins. It decimates pride, status, and wealth. Christmas is God's program for human redemption. He sent his son, Jesus, to crush Satan's head. But it will also crush your human hope, your human desire, your human thought about what we are to do, how to live. Christmas is about God's plan and only God's plan. God made the plan. God fulfilled the plan. God set the time. And it is only God's plan. And to understand Christmas clearly then, we must understand first our human hearts that we naturally desire to get our own way. We do. Adam and Eve try that. They grapple with knowledge. They want to have knowledge and to do everything without God. That's their sin. But your hearts and my hearts are just like Adam's and Eve's heart. Our hearts are twisted against God. In our way of thinking, we want to accomplish this and that and all the things without God. The more we try, the deeper we get into the mud. God plans for our salvation is for us to believe in God, to believe in His Son, to believe in His plan that He promised He will fulfill. To trust in God completely. Waiting for God to do his work may bring humiliation in the eyes of your friend, in the eyes of your boss, in the eyes of people around you. And yes, you might even go hungry. Yes, people might take advantage of you and enslave you. Christmas means that you are to cast all the risk of living upon God with a loud cry, God, I want to trust you completely. Help me to do that. Prove to me that I don't really need the way of the world, but that you are enough for me. Christmas means throwing away human instincts and cast themselves upon the Savior, and cast ourselves upon the Savior, and said, Jesus, the Son of God, save me. I put my trust in you. Be with me. Guide me. Lead me. Protect me. Work out the Father's plan through my weakness and my needs. Christmas means that accepting Christ as the King of faith, that God wants us to have faith in Jesus and to put our trust in Jesus because Jesus is our Savior. And these are the stories, the things about Christmas. As we come to the table, we are reminded again that the announcement that the angel Gabriel made to Mary was fulfilled. He's the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. But he is enthroned in a way unimaginable in human history. But this is the only way in which God asks us to accept as the way of salvation. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread and broke it, gave to his disciple and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Take it. And you take the cup. And he said, drink it, each and every one of you. This is the new covenant in my blood. It's the blood of grapes. So if you feel compelled to accept Christmas, to accept what God has offered, or that you have already accepted, then come, take the bread, then take the cup. Let's pray.